Good morning. I'll explain the duck in a minute. Wasn't planning to use a duck, but... In a little while, we're going to pray and anoint with oil and recognise Julie and Alison, essentially. We did this with myself, with Linda, and with Derek. And there's times before I said it's not about the person, it's about the gifting, about honouring essentially the position. And I'm going to come on to it a lot later and explain a little bit what I mean by that, essentially. But I know, which one? Alison, I know you're out with the children. So we're going to do it first thing. So if Julie and Alison, are you happy just to come on, come down? We're using batons like we use with the others, because if you know anything about relay races, there's someone who carries it for a short time. They carry it for a season. And this idea, then you pass it on to someone else. This is a very visual, prophetic act that we've done with the others. Decided that you carry it for a while, and that you pass it on. It's all about generational stuff. So if you'll just come into the middle. Before I gave these out, obviously we did these, and if you remember, we wrote prophetic words on bits of paper, and we put them on the inside. They're very hard to get out once they've been put in. So I came up with a system to try to remember whose was whose, okay? And I've come down to the last two, and I don't know if any of you have checked yours, if you've got the right one. I'm pretty sure you have. The way I remembered that this is the pastoral one is because in my head I went, sheep are silver, okay? Obviously sheep aren't silver. It's one of my weird little things. But I remembered it, okay? And then I thought to myself, now am I just being a bit strange? Have I actually remembered it? So I managed to get one of these out to have a look, ripping it in the process. So I have rewritten every word, when I say me, my dear wife, and it's gone back in there. So, just keeping you on your toes, keeping you on your toes. Stay there. You need that in a minute. I'm going to pray for these guys, but as a whole church, you can get behind this and pray as well. Thank you, Lord, for your church, that you are dedicated to build your church. So I pray for each of these women. I just pray for real boldness and courage to speak and do with courage. Lord, will you fill them up? May they know it's in your strength and not their own that they do this. Thank you, Lord, that you're building a glorious church. Empower them, Lord, to do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Someone, don't slip over. There's a little bit on the floor. Don't slip over on that. Okay, why the duck? I'm standing at the back there, and God says, pick up the duck. So I picked it up. See what happens. This duck is Phoebe's favourite duck. She has an obsession with ducks. She doesn't call them ducks, she calls them D's. And so she'll say, you might even hear her occasionally, she might say, D, D, and she's talking about ducks. We think she's talking about ducks. Maybe as well dogs, she calls D's as well, but ducks. We were going into one of the, was it Mamas and Papas? Or one of those shops that's all about babies that they guilt trip you into spending loads of money. Basically, that's what they're about. And Phoebe was crying, really going for it, like howling. And because we wheeled into the shop, and me and Amy saw this duck, and we thought, oh, she loves ducks. That'll really calm her down. So we wheeled over, and there's a big mound in all these fluffy ducks. And we get one off the shelf, and we go, oh, look, Phoebe, it's a duck. Dee! And she grabs it, and she's cuddling it. And then, of course, the time came where I was like, well, I'm not going to pay for that. So I tried to take it back off of her to put back onto the shelf. And as you can see by the evidence, that was never going to happen. You thought I screamed before. You know, this was another level. And you get embarrassed when you're out in public. So I was like, oh, it's the quickest £10 I've ever spent. It was literally in the shop for a couple of minutes. I was like, yep, we're going to have to buy it. But here's the thing. It was a gift from her daddy and her mummy. But the example works a lot better if it's just a gift from her daddy. This gift helps her in life. She cries. She can operate without it, but actually with it, she is better. She sleeps better. She can operate during the day better. And it's really funny. So sometimes we'll be out walking or we're reading a book and she'll just suddenly call out D. And we think she's a bit like over the top, obsessed with them anyway. So we just go, no, there's no ducks anyway. It's lovely that you think there's going to be ducks, but there's no ducks. And then we realize, actually, she's spotted what no one else has spotted. She's spotted, actually, in the very corner of this tiny little book is some version of a duck that we've always missed. Or way off in the distance on some tiny speck of water is a duck. And she's the only one that's managed to see it and call it out. The Holy Spirit is a gift. It's gifted to us by Daddy. And I know people in life that operate without it somehow. They seem to get through life and they assume, you know what, I don't need the God thing. I don't need any of that. I can get by. And I'm looking at them thinking, are you? Really? Because in like Phoebe's case, maybe you're not sleeping all that well. Or maybe actually in your day-to-day, actually you're not operating how you should be operating, how God intended you to be operating. Because you were always meant to have the gift. And we can sometimes be pushing Phoebe in the pushchair, and she gets in one of her moves, and she goes, ah! Literally toys out of the pram, right? And she has a moment, and we say, well, do you want it back? She's kind of batting it away. But then give her time to kind of calm down, and she suddenly has a moment to realize that she's lost the duck. We then say, duck? Do you want duck? She gets hold of it and she pulls it in as if it's like she's seen it for the first time again. And she's cutting it away and it calms her down again. And I wonder for us how often we're like that with God and sometimes the Holy Spirit. I know I am, many times. There was actually a famous Christian, I forget his name now, he said that every morning he would get out of bed on his knees. And it was this kind of statement that every morning I'm going to dedicate this day, every day of my life, to God. And I think so many times do we lose sight of the gifts that God has given us. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit, maybe it's a whole host of things. We lose sight of that. But we're never lost. Actually, all you have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry, actually, yeah. Thank you for that gift. Then you can pick them up again and use them just as they were intended. So I hope I honored God with what he said about bringing the duck. I have no idea, but I'll give this back to Phoebe. D, flying D. Okay, this morning's going to be a little bit different than usual, as it's quite a strange standalone week. It's one of those weeks when you're planning, where it's like you can't. We've just finished the Covenant and Kingdom series. It feels like we've just finished it. It's been a while, so I kind of got my head thinking, okay, what are we going to kind of press into next? And this week is a little bit standalone. There's quite a lot of stuff before and a few things afterwards. So I didn't necessarily want to start anything now, but I want to kind of introduce and talk a little bit about why we're starting what we're going to be starting in a little while, in a couple of weeks' time. And the series that I want us to journey with is the wilderness story of God's people, the Israelites, when they leave Egypt and they cross the Red Sea all the way through to Joshua. And they cross over the Jordan. So you've kind of got the crossing the Red Sea. It's between the two crossings, if you like, is the kind of where we're going to be going. And I said this at, I think I said this at our family meeting. Now, if you didn't realize, as a church, you guys are looking at appointing a paid person, if you like, to come in. And in my head, the best way I can honor you and honor them, whoever it will be, is to prepare. Right? It's to prepare, get you ready for this next season, if you like, the baton change, if you like. And so this is just one of those things which I think is going to help prepare. There's a lot, actually, believe it or not, in those 40 years. Because sometimes we kind of think, oh, it's the 40 years in the wilderness. You had the Egypt, we know the Prince of Egypt story in the film. And then we kind of get the rest of it in Joshua and Jericho. And these 40 years are a bit kind of odd to us. And the idea is we're going to kind of go, believe it or not, it is a whistle-stop tour, but we're going to go from now all the way to before summer holidays, essentially. Two reasons. One, summer holidays are a bit strange, different people being away. But also, quite possibly, after the summer holidays, come September, you could be looking at a new paid person. And I want to make sure that we're not midway through a series and we're not this. Actually, I want to try and honour as best we can whoever's going to come. So just in this kind of wilderness story, if you could kind of try and map out in your heads, you kind of got crossing of the Red Sea. Then you've got various different miracles of manna and quails and things like that. You have Mount Sinai where you have the tabernacle and you have, you know, the garments and the ark. And you have so many different things. You have the rebellion of the people and where they don't get allowed into the promised lands. And the same with Moses. And he isn't allowed into the promised lands. We have things like snakes and Balaam's donkey. You have all of this in those 4 years. There's so much, believe it or not, to pack in. But it's one of those stories which I think is going to bless us very well. How many of you remember there was a Sunday where I got you all to stand and take a step? Few of you. There was a moment I just felt God say, actually, with another one, like the batons, it's a kind of very visual, kind of prophetic act. I got you to stand up, take a step, and I got you to take another step. And it's this idea, actually, we are on a journey, aren't we? And you can argue at one level, as Christians, you'll never finish that journey until heaven, right? Because we should always be pressing into God's. God is so much bigger and more, you know, unfathomable than we can ever get our heads around. There should always be something we can press into. That God always wants to go, okay, this area, I'm just going to make it a little bit more Christ-like. Okay, there should always be that process in our lives, okay? But also, very much in the kind of, I don't want to say the physical, but in the years that you are on this earth, there is kind of checkpoint markers where God's like, right, I want to bring you from here to here, right? And then I want to bring you from here to here, okay? And for me, this is just one of those checkpoints from now until then. Hence, we're going into Joshua. And then we'll see. What happens when we get there? Who knows? The other thing I'm going to be doing is there was only so much we could do as the fivefold, if you like, up until the family meeting. But this is very much my heart in this, is that it's kind of a two-pronged attack. One is now when we meet, we're going to have each gifting's input into discussion. So we can begin to discussions on discipleship and mission and prayer and fun. And what does that mean to have fun as church and kind of host the presence? And we can begin to kind of explore all these different areas. That's one thing. The second thing they're going to be doing is building teams. Building their own teams. Because my heart is to mobilize the whole church. It was never about five individuals. Okay? And we've got to be careful not to get stuck on the five individuals. Okay, because their role is to actually, God has put something inside of you that the world needs to hear about. So how can we bring that out? Yeah, the old model is the many look at the few and expect the few to do the work. We want to, and I've said this year for a couple of years now I've been here, I think, when I was thinking about it. And I've been saying right from the beginning, actually I want to kind of turn that on its head. And actually it's the few kind of empowers the many, and then that's your workforce. Is that's God's workforce, his hands and his feet is where we're going to be heading. And one of the things in kind of the preparation we're going to be doing in those meetings is a book. I've decided that what I think I'm going to do is every other time we meet, we'll be discussing the things that we need to be discussing. And the other time we meet, I want to do some kind of leadership input, if you like, leadership training. Because when a leader gets better, everyone gets better. Yeah, if we do it in this model. And the one thing I'm thinking about to do with that group is a book called For a New Generation. Okay? This is an interesting book. It's a very small book. So I like it because it's easy to read and it doesn't take me long. Very different context. Okay? It's full of Americanisms. And it's a pastor who comes into his job. And in his words, the church is dying and they're at 200 strong. Okay, so when I think I'm like, you have no idea, right? 200, that's incredible, right? But as he begins to kind of lead this church on, there's six chapters, and each chapter there's a particular theme, okay? And for me, this book is all about legacy. If we're going to press on and do something great with God's, what's the point in doing it for one generation? Does God really want to establish something? And let's be a lot more specific than the earth, right here, Does God really want to establish something right here that's going to last for 40 years and then die? I cannot believe that is God's heart. My belief, and the more I read scripture, is actually God's heart is to go on from strength to strength, right? It's to increase, to get bigger. And this idea is, how can we do amazing things for God now, but then also pass it on to the future generations? So it's our children, and our children's children, and our children's children. Let me give you an example of just one of the chapters. One of the chapters is actually the second chapter, and it's called Missing the Whale. And he tells a story where he goes scuba diving. And he was so intently looking at his little clownfish in the reef. And it's amazing, all the colours and all the things. And he gets back onto the boat, and everyone's like going mad. They're so excited. He's like, yeah, it was good, but not that good. Like, they were just little fish. And they're like, no. Didn't you see the whale? And he's like, what? And he's like, yeah. I mean, I guess you would have missed it because you were sort of staring that way. But a massive whale passed right over us, and you were the only one that missed it. And the whole chapter, he goes on to explain, is what is your core? What is your values, your mission, your kind of vision statement, if you like? What is your core? And don't miss it. As you begin to press on with God and expand and go to the left and the right, and you begin to get bigger, don't ever lose sight of what your core is. And so you can take stuff like that and you can put that into any context. So we're going to beginning to look at this as kind of Liz, an idea of kind of get that into our thinking, that as we begin to kind of press forwards, we have some of this stuff in our arsenal, if you like. But why? What's the point in all of it? I'm going to tell you. It's in 2 Kings, and we're going to look at this story, and this is, I think, the main thing I want to bring this morning. It's in 2 Kings 4. There's a story in, I think it's around 1 Kings area, with Elijah with a widow and oil and flour. Then everyone's, they ask him to make him a little cake, and she does, and then she has continuous amounts to kind of survive on. There's another story, which we're going to read in 2 Kings 4, with Elisha. So not Elijah, Elisha with a widow and oil. No flour this time, but just oil. So we're going to read start from verse 1. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my 2 children to be his slaves." Okay? Essentially, husband's died. She owes money. All her family owed money. But the husband's died. She has no way to pay it anymore. The creditor has now come, saying, "You can't pay for it. I'm going to take your sons as payment." Okay? So she's in despair, and she's crying out to Elisha. Verse 2, "And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in the house.' And she said, 'Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go outside, borrow vessels from your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few.'" So basically, as many as you can get your hands on, right? "Then go in, shut the door behind yourself and your sons, and pour into all these vessels. When one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. Are we understand, so far, it's so good, yeah? We're understanding what's going on. People are bringing her vessels. She's topping it up. Miraculous flowing of the oil. And she's passing off these full vessels now. Some passes an empty vessel. It's the important bit. Verse 6. "When the vessels were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another. They've run out.' Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil, pay your debts, and you, your sons, can live on the rest.' When the vessels were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.'" Essentially, come on, keep going. There's more to come. Keep going. "And he said to her, 'There is not another. We've run out. There's no more vessels.' Then the oil stopped flowing." Did you know there's the miraculous outpouring of the oil was dependent upon the amount of vessels that she had? Did you pick that up? God didn't say, "Okay, there's a certain amount of oil in this jug, and it's just so going to happen measure up to the amount of vessels that you can possibly get your hands on. That the prophet said to her, go out and get as many as you can find. Not too few. Just go and get them from all your neighbors. And the oil kept flowing until there was no more vessels. Right? How many of you know that the outpouring of God's Spirit is dependent upon your preparation? Now, the funny thing is, for a lot of people, that's like, well, hang on a minute. Because we naturally then start going into the works element. And this is not talking anything about salvation, anything like that at all. But your kind of preparation is so much more dependable on the outpouring of God. Let me tell you a personal story. The amount of times I've cried out to God, Lord, give me more. Anyone else done the same? Lord, I want more. I want to see more. I want to press into more, Lord. I want to just go that much further. And he said, on many occasions, you're not ready. Right? You're not ready. We cry out to God, Lord, we want to give more. And it's endless. It can be endless. This outpouring can be endless. And I go, Lord, I want it. Fill me up. More, Lord, more. Take me deeper. Take me further. Maybe it's sounding, this is similar to what you've prayed in the past. And then we sometimes think, well, why wasn't I? Lord, I cried. Lord, I cried out. Lord, fill me up to overflowing. Pour into me more and more and more. And I mean, I'm feeling empty, Lord. What's going on? And then you just hear that whisper. He says, you're not ready. You're not quite ready yet. Actually, I'm beginning to work in you to kind of strengthen your shoulders, if you like, to broaden your shoulders, to increase your capacity, essentially. There's such a thing we see in Scripture that this really isn't. God is God, right? He can pour out on anyone he chooses. Isn't it a grace that when he withholds? Because when I say to him, Lord, pour out on me, take me so much deeper, Lord, just give me more, and he says no, for actually when you look back on it, that is a grace because I would not have been able to withstand it. In actual fact, it would have probably done me more damage than goods. I wouldn't have been able to handle it. I wouldn't have been in the right position to host it and to use it. And I've talked here on the story of David, the shepherd boy, and how he's anointed king long before he enters the palace. And he's anointed king, and yet he goes into this long, he continues in this long years of being the shepherd boy, fighting off the lion and fighting off the bear and doing it. God is preparing him. You know, he's called and his destiny is set. But God is preparing him such a work so that when he gets to Goliath, he's able to defeat him. And sometimes that gives me hope when I cry out to God, Lord, give me more. And he says, no, you're not quite ready. Because I'm like, okay, hang on a minute. That means there's more work to be done in here. Anyone else same, or is it just me up here? Right? There's more work to be done in here. Yeah, I'm not the finished article. And the more I cry out to God, Lord, I want more. He goes, okay, great. We're just going to deal with this. We're just going to deal with this. And once we deal with that, then we can give you another vessel. And then once we're done with that, then we can give you another vessel. The outpouring is going to keep on flowing, depending on how ready you are. And this isn't works. Are you prepared for the outpouring of God? Or can we truly say, yes, Lord, if you were to drop it, overflow, completely wash us out, would we actually be able to withstand it? Would we be prepared to take it? So many Christians, you know, I see in life, and they're operating out the dregs. They're ministering out the dregs of the Spirit. It's kind of like, oh man, I'm always tired. I'm always just a last little thing, and then I need a week's holiday, and I'm always getting ill, and I'm always, and they're operating out of the dreg. You know, the way it's meant to happen is you're meant to be in such a place with God the Father that he completely fills you and overflows you with the presence. And it's actually out of that overflow that you minister with, right? As it kind of bubbles out and begins to spill out onto the ground, you're like, okay, right, this is what I can use to minister with. Where so many times we go, you know, I'm running empty, but I've got to do this and I've got to do this. How many of you know the provision of God, the glory of God? He blesses in abundance, right? But it's never wasteful. Have you noticed the feeding of the 5,000s? Yeah, they had more than they could eat, but they still collected what was left. And I've always thought that was a bit strange. I don't know about anyone else. They're kind of this, they've got far too much food than they could possibly actually consume, and there's some left. But rather than just chucking it on the grounds, they collect it into baskets. And we can talk into why, the significance of the baskets. But isn't it true that God blesses in abundance, but it's never wasteful? There's still a purpose for whatever's left over. And God wants us in that place. He wants us to be so just taken over with getting to know him in the presence. Getting on the mountaintop experience, right? Or getting wherever it is for you, where you can just begin to get into God more. He wants that for you. So you can overflow and then use that to minister with. This is the preparation that I'm talking about. This is the preparation that I want to see. Because I believe the outpouring's coming. I believe the outpouring's coming. And I don't just mean an individual outpouring. Because I think that can, you know, I mean, that's you and God. You can decide on that. You can work on that. But I believe there's a corporate outpouring coming on the church. And maybe not just this church, you know. Maybe you know, I think it's much bigger than just one person. I think it's much bigger than one church. But I believe the outpouring's coming. And I kind of want to challenge us this morning, because sometimes we do kind of hold on to that grace train and be like, oh no, God has done everything. I have no responsibility. I don't have to do anything. And God's like, great, that's your salvation, but I still want to make you more like Christ. There's still these areas in your life that I want to begin to deal with. And my challenge to you for this morning is, will you let him? Will you just look at yourself and think, okay, hang on a minute. What areas in myself are not mirroring Christ's image? When people look at me, do they see the fullness of Christ? No, I can answer that for you right now. The answer is no for every single one of us. So what area is it that God's going to work on next? Because you know when he's done it, he's like, right, okay, we've dealt with that. We're now going to move on to something else. I'm now going to replace that with an empty vessel. And then are you going to ask God to fill it up? So let me leave you with that challenge. The outpouring is coming. Are we preparing ourselves? And I talked last time that actually that might look different for each and every one of us. That actually we have different challenges in life at different times. It might not necessarily be the same for everyone to start off with. But actually the challenge is to kind of know yourself. Look at yourself. Pray. Seek God in it. Lord, make me more like Christ. What is it that you need to change in my life? And then we get ready for the outpouring. Okay, I want to do one more thing before we move into communion. I want to kind of show us the model of church that I believe I see in here. I've talked about this. I know the site that we have with us and God's, and then the site we have around us here. This is the kind of model of church I see in here. Can we, we've talked to the fivefold and the trustees. If you're here, and you're a trustee and you're a fivefold, can you just stand for me? Now, recognizing this might not be everyone, because I know some people are away and some people are outside. Can you just step into the middle for me? Okay. Can everyone else stand up for me? And can you all face the walls? This is the... Pardon? Yeah. 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 No, this is just a visual. I'm not. It's not like a rule or law thing. I'm just. It's just a visual. Yeah. No, it's all right. I completely agree with you on that point. This is my vision of what church should look like. Right. If God is the absolute center point of it all. Right. The very center pin. And then we're told we have particular people that carry stuff for a particular season that are meant to get the rest of the church prepared for in ministry. They're meant to prepare them, get them ready, okay? Then what you find as you look outwards is you find your workforce has like increased by like 100-fold. All of a sudden you have like 40 people, right, in this room who are the hands and feet of Jesus in every sphere of their lives. So think to yourself right now where you go to work. Think to yourself right now where your house is situated in the country. Think to yourself right now of your family members that you see on special occasions. Think to yourself right now of the neighbours that are on your street. Okay? Because the only person who's got the best chance of bringing the love of Jesus Christ to them is you. And for so long, the church has looked inwards. For so long, the church has looked inwards and they've kind of gone, right, here's the one person, the minister, and he's up the front and he's supposed to do it all. He's supposed to be the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the shepherd, the teacher. He's supposed to do the healing. He's supposed to do absolutely everything that we see in Scripture, all the gifting. False. It's never. How is that going to happen? The poor guy or the poor girl is going to burn out, which we see a lot of the time in churches. They're going to be ineffective, and then all they can really do is actually operate out of their strength. So what you tend to find is these churches that operate in that model is you find they're very good at one thing. They're very good in whatever that particular gifting is. I think it's time for a change. Because if you look at this model and what we've got, actually you don't find a church which is particularly strong in one area. You find a church which is particularly strong in all areas. Because God, in his goodness and his grace, he has gifted the church with the right people. Because he promises us that he will build his church, right? So we can take that responsibility off us, and like we try and do this church management, and I get caught up in meetings and this and that. And the other. Hang on, God promises that he will build his church. Do you know what we're called to do? Love God, love everyone else. That is literally it. And how you best love God and how you best love those people in your neighborhoods will come best out of your gifting. So I want to take courage in what God has put inside you. If you feel like, you know, I feel my gifting is in this area and not that, great. Absolutely great. That's why it's a church body. That's why it's a team, because you're not the lone ranger going into that. You're being covered by prayer. You're being covered by people around you who are checking up on you. Now just have a look around. So just kind of turn and have a look around. Okay. Because I know this is visual and it's kind of a prophetic act, but when you, obviously you couldn't actually see it when you're all facing the walls, but you had people facing in every direction, okay? Now that's not, oh my goodness me, we're all going off and we're getting pulled left, right and centre and there's nothing joining us together, because God's in the middle. It's actually, when you step out of those doors, when we finish, where'd you go? You go home, absolutely. Why? Because everyone's hungry and we want lunch, right? So you're going to go home, or you go out for a meal, or you... But you go somewhere, right? We get so caught up with God's going to do all his good work in this room, right? And how many hours do you spend in this room? 1-2 a week, if that. I wouldn't if I was God's. I'm like, what a waste. I'm going to do all the good work in 2 hours a week? No, he's desperately wanting to do it out there. If you read the ministry of Jesus, many, many times they do stuff in the highways and the byways, and in just going places and doing stuff. But he could only do that because he was prepared. He was built up in these different things. Now, we're not Jesus, so we need a little bit of help. We need a little bit of training, and we need a little bit of building up. But that's what each other are for. We're to build each other up in these things so that as you go and you step out of this building and you go into wherever you go in the full knowledge you're a son or daughter of the King. Now, we talked about covenant and kingdom. You're full knowledge that you are a daughter or son of the King. You're going in your strengths and your giftings. You're going with the whole church backing you. But you're going, you're taking the Holy Spirit into that place. Only then are we going to see revival. Right? Only then are we going to see God actually at work. And we can spend, I could spend the rest of my life caught up in church buildings. Right? And they're beautiful and they're a great place. And there are times we all need actually to come together, to worship, to pray, to be a church family. But we're still called out there. We're still called actually to keep our eyes facing the world. Because there's a whole world out there that needs to know. And it's our job, not mine, not these guys in the middle. It's our job to reach them. So while you're standing, I'm just going to pray for us. Thank you, God, that you are all powerful. Thank you, God, that all we need to get caught up with is to love you and love our neighbors. I pray, Lord, although we've heard that, if you like, that message so many times, God, that just hits true once again. Lord, may I free people from false responsibility. Some of you, you've placed yourself under the wrong things, and unless it's my job to do this, or it's I need to be worried about this, and I think God just wants to say to you, you need to let that down. You need to lay that down. That was never yours to carry. Father, I pray we are caught up more and more in the presence. Lord, I pray we are caught up more and more with just getting alone with you. May we develop such a rhythm in our lives of seeking after your face. Lord, may you fill us up to overflow. May you give us boldness and courage. Lord, may you give us the gift of faith to step out. Do you know what I believe? I want to speak to a few of you here. And you've got friends who don't know Jesus. And you've been kind of edging around them. You know, you're keeping the friendship bit going, which is great. And I feel God is saying, actually, it's now time to challenge. Not to come in with the heavy hands. Hear that? Don't come in with the, you must bow before God. It's nothing like that at all. But I feel like actually we've just moved into a place now where God is beginning to call those people a lot stronger. So if you're out there and you're thinking, do you know what, this name and is this name, and yeah, we're good friends, and do you know what, we talk about it, but we don't. Just pray, God, how can I take this to the next level? How can we take them that one step closer into you, Father? Like I pray with these guys at the front, look, may you know it's not in your strength, but in God's strength. Lord, may you do such a mighty work in this church, the Church of Jesus Christ. May you do such a powerful, mighty work in this one small expression of your worldwide church. Keep us humble, Lord. Amen. Amen. You can take your seats.